Welcome to the FAM Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Phillips. We like to say at FAM that everything rises and falls on leadership. And to lead, you must have vision. If your vision requires that you have a way to make disciples who can make disciples who can make disciples and establish the body of Christ everywhere it is not, then you're going to need a reproducible disciple-making process. As we continue talking about the drivetrain to get to that movement opportunity today, we're talking about just that, how you can have a reproducible disciple-making process and live that full potential you have in the vision God's laid before you. So let's get into it as we learn about the third gear in FAM's movement drivetrain, having a reproducible disciple-making process. All right, we're here in the studio, the FAM Podcast. I'm Kevin Phillips. This is my co-host, Derek Schuessler. Man, so excited to be with you today to talk about this subject.
It is. I look forward to every one of these topics that we cover, but now we're getting into some stuff that we love.
Yeah, this is our stuff right here. This is stuff that 13 years ago, we were etching out these processes and figuring out how are we going to make disciples who can make disciples for a lifetime. And here we are 13 years later,
I was just along for the ride, but it was a fun process for me to get to see how this has just shaped up over the time.
Man, I have that picture when we were in that room out in the middle of the desert doing the first trainings of our reproducible disciple-making process. That picture somebody took is flashing in my mind right now. I see young Derek in that little bitty portable building in the desert.
So, great day. They made me sit up on the bed there, but it was a fun time.
Wearing that shawl kameez and ready to go.
Absolutely.
It was great days, good memories. Yeah. Well, let's get into it. In the last two episodes, we covered gear one and two of the drivetrain. Yep. So the first gear, having that proper mindset that
movement mentality.
Yes, gives us a movement mentality. And as we're revving up and firing, we're shifting gears into gear two. We start thinking about team dynamic and the team dynamic of
apostolic teams.
Yes, that apostolic team full of apostolic culture and apostolic ambition and all that's driving it.
Yeah.
And then we start moving through, okay, that's cooking. Now let's push it up into gear three. And that's where we're at today. And gear three in FAM's movement drivetrain is talking about having and being postured for the movement God's placed on your heart with a kingdom movement opportunity, and that's having a reproducible disciple-making process.
Yeah, that's really exciting to think about when our partners are listening to this or thinking about the kingdom movement opportunity that God has put before them, that area, the place where they're trying to see that kingdom movement happen. This is going to be that pathway that leads them there, right? So the reproducible disciple-making process.
Yeah.
So how would you define that?
Before I define it, let's clarify some terms. This is tricky business when we start talking about discipleship or disciple-making. Mm-hmm. So many times I've said the word disciple-making, and I think what's firing in other people's mind is something totally different.
Yeah.
They're thinking more discipleship when I'm talking disciple-making. So
that's where my mind goes. Yeah, when I hear disciple, I think discipleship, that process that we're talking about.
And all of its tactics and its tools and its goals and what it accomplishes, which are great things and necessary things on the discipleship side.
Sure.
You would have spiritual formation over there, acquiring spiritual disciplines, developing strong biblical habits and overcoming issues, controlling issues and walking with Christ for a lifetime, that enablement and transferring your faith to others. And that's all good and necessary, but in its appropriate place. So in clarifying terms, if that's discipleship, what is disciple making? Mm. And disciple making would have other associated things with it, like keywords of evangelism, where we're sharing the gospel, calling people to Christ, being born again, the initial steps of being a follower of Jesus and saying, yes, I've believed. Now I want to follow him. So we're not just making believers, we're making disciples, but it starts with believing, trusting on Jesus, following Jesus, and then being shaped up into that lifelong disciple. So disciple making and discipleship fall under an umbrella that I like to call discipling. Gotcha. And that keeps the terms in their proper place, mm-hmm. helps us all. So we know, am I in a mode of disciple making right now, or am I in a mode of discipleship? I don't want to pull out my discipleship tactics when I'm in the process of disciple making.
Sure.
And I don't want to keep people in a disciple making mode with baby steps and milk when I need to be shaping them and establishing them in the faith mm-hmm. to walk with Christ for a lifetime. So under the umbrella of discipling, we have disciple making and discipleship. And today we're falling on this side of that,
gotcha.
Right?
Yep.
With a reproducible disciple making process. So that's
we're talking about that side
yes.
today.
The, yeah.
the more evangelistic, the disciple make the initial
exactly.
phase.
Of yeah.
that.
So that's going to, when we start seeing the tools and the opportunities, mm-hmm. when we start shaping choices and making decisions, we got to be conscious of this side of the discipling sphere, right?
Sure.
So we're focused right and not inadvertently shooting for the wrong target. So that's what we're talking about. Reproducible disciple making process on this side of the discipling sphere.
Sure.
And here's how we define it with FAM, just to help us stay focused, to make sure we're bringing the right tools to the field as necessary. We define a reproducible disciple-making process as a clear, adapted, and transferable method for making disciples who can make disciples in your cultural context. Mm.
That's good. That's
yeah.
There's a lot to that, though.
It's pretty rich. Yeah.
yeah. So when you're thinking about that, the yeah. definition, where do you see that play out in Scripture?
You bet. And I love that too. That we can fall back on the Scripture as our guide and coach when we're shaping choices and making decisions about what's the best reproducible disciple making process for me. Is yeah. it biblical? Is it necessary? So, well, the first place we see is, I like to say it like this: that Paul, he had and he used a reproducible disciple-making process. And not everybody agrees with that.
Yeah.
Some people feel like Paul was out there winging it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think we can see in Scripture Paul had and he used a reproducible disciple-making process.
Yeah.
Here's first place we see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. I love how it said, Paul said, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. So let each one take care how he builds upon it."
Yeah. I mean, that's really good because you see that skilled master builder language. And
yes.
when I hear builder, I think blueprints, I think plans,
yeah.
I think process.
Not winging it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's not throwing something against the wall and saying, oh, yeah, that looks
yeah,
good.
Okay.
It's
yeah.
a skilled master builder.
Yes.
He has a process and he knows there's others that are going to be
yeah.
coming up upon this foundation.
Yeah, what I do matters because who's coming next in the yeah. line of this building. Yeah.
And he's talking about Apollos and these others who are,
yeah.
are doing the same thing, but they're following kind of the same process that Paul
you
is.
Betcha. And his team members that are coming after him, that are staying behind, that are doing other works in the discipling sphere
yeah.
to lead people to be obedient followers of Christ. Another good place we see this element, right, that Paul had and used a reproducible disciple-making process is in Acts 17, verse 2. And here's how it said, "And Paul went in, as was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scripture." So subtle,
yeah.
but such a good insight in that Paul had and used
yeah.
a reproducible disciple.
I mean, it's there in that, as was his custom.
Yeah.
Which, and again, we already talked about it. This is, we're on the initial disciple-making
yeah.
process.
Yeah, we're over on this side.
And that, I mean, people could hear that and say, well, that's him doing evangelism, which, yeah, we agree. This was his custom in
yes.
disciple-making to go into the synagogues and reason with those,
yeah.
those Jews there.
And Luke's given us some good insight with just that one subtle phrase, mm-hmm. as was his custom, right? So we can just bypass that and realize, oh, Paul had and he used a reproducible disciple-making process. Second thing we see is we see this definition playing out in Scripture, as we said, a clear, adapted, transferable method to make disciples who can make disciples. I love this. In your cultural context, mm-hmm. not a one-size-fits-all. In your cultural context, we see that Paul not only had and used one, we see that Paul considered reproducible disciple-making to be normative.
Ooh, that's big right there, because a lot of people see Acts like we just used
yeah.
and say, well, that was a one-time thing for Paul and his team to do.
Yes.
But it's not normative, meaning for all times and all places.
Yeah, all people.
Yeah.
yeah.
And should we do what Paul did?
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see that Paul kind of expected us to do what he did.
You betcha. Well, let's see it here. As he said to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:13 and 14, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard that good deposit that's been entrusted to you.
Yeah. So his last letter to his closest coworker, his follower, leaving that instructions for his co-laborer to do. And it's guard the deposit and follow the pattern of the sound words that I gave you, Timothy. Yeah. Follow that pattern.
Follow the pattern. Right. Have a clear, adapted, and transferable method to follow the pattern, right? To make those disciples who can make disciples. And you know what? You're going to have to do it in each cultural context, but follow the pattern. I love that. It's freeing. It's Spirit-led.
Yeah.
It's focused on the love and truth of Jesus. But he's saying, there's a pattern I want you to follow. I'm laying out that blueprint, right? It's going to lead to success in making disciples and establishing the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Love this one too. He says it on to Titus. It wasn't just for Timothy, right?
Yep.
It's good enough for Timothy. It's good enough for me, but it's good enough for Titus as well, all right? He says in Titus 1:5, this is why I left you in Crete. He's like, why'd you leave me in Crete? Well, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remains into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Right. Here we see it again.
Pretty clear. This is, I mean, he's telling Titus exactly what he wants him to do.
Yeah.
Put what remains into order.
Yeah.
Which is the process. How does he do that? It's make disciples and then appoint elders over those disciples to lead them. But
we see so many good things about the pattern. Make disciples, establish them in the faith, establish the church, right? And continue that on in a reproducible, transferable method that others can follow in the pattern. Well, we believe Paul hadn't used a reproducible disciple-making process. We believed he felt it was to be normative, that reproducible discipleship was for all people, all time, and all places throughout the generations of the followers of Christ and all cultural contexts.
Yeah.
And the third place we see this playing out in Scripture is that we see Paul meant for it to be passed down.
Yeah.
It wasn't, hey, this is good for our team, other teams figure it out. He meant for this to be passed down with the wisdom he had received on the administration of the church, on the mystery of the gospel, all of this. In his sharing, in his letters, in his teaching, in his efforts, he meant for it to be passed down. And we see that in that famous verse that practitioners like us love, is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2.
2:2.
That all the things, Paul said, that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach it to others.
Yep. There's four generations there.
right?
Yeah. We got Paul, you got Timothy, other reliable men teaching it to others.
Teaching it to others.
Yeah. So there's that reproducibility, that's the first word of it.
Yeah. And you nailed it with the four generations in one verse. I mean, you can't argue that Paul didn't mean for it to be passed down to successive generations. That's great insight. I love that.
So taking all of that and what we see in Scripture and then what we define as reproducible disciple-making process, how do you coach our teams, and not just our teams, but our partners and others who are interested in getting postured for a kingdom movement opportunity? How do you coach them with a reproducible disciple-making?
It all starts with vision. You know, we said earlier in the introduction, leadership is about vision, right? And everything rises and falls on leadership. So when we go into coaching mode, whether it's our teams around the world or right here in America with our partners who are seeking to do this in their backyards, it all starts with vision. The vision, your kingdom movement opportunity. So we start by helping them see what is the opportunity to see a kingdom movement in your respective harvest fields.
Yeah.
And when you start to catch that vision, you have to start shaping choices and making decisions. Now, when you shape choices and make decisions, if putting butts in the seats on Sunday morning or the weekend services, if that's the vision, you don't need a reproducible disciple-making process.
That's why we start with movement mentality.
Amen.
Because it's got to be fueling what we do, our vision.
Yep. And if your vision of making disciples in your church or your organization is about a discipleship program that just trains volunteers to execute the programs on the weekend, then you don't need a reproducible disciple-making process, right? It's overkill, or you're like, it's a waste of time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fulfill my objectives in having a program that trains volunteers to execute programs, because a reproducible disciple-making process may not help with that so much, but it can do so much more. So here's what I like to say. If that's your vision, you need something else. Mm. But if your vision, if the kingdom movement opportunity that God has laid on your heart, if it requires the necessity of having a process of raising up your believers within your congregation and your network that they can make disciples, who can make disciples, who can make disciples, and establish the body of Christ everywhere it is not, if that's your vision, then you must have a reproducible disciple-making process, and nothing else will do. And you will not be postured for the movement God's placed in your heart without it. So let's get the mindset right.
Yeah.
Let's get the team dynamic shaped around that mentality so they can execute not just an assimilation plan, but a reproducible disciple-making process. So that's the first thing we do. And then the second thing is I help them with a subjective and kind of light self-assessment.
That's good. So What does that assessment look like?
Yeah. So it starts off with a question. And the question we're going to ask them, you know, we're going to give them that 1 to 10 scale and let them rate themselves. But before they rate themselves, we got to put the right question before so they can be focused. Yep. And here's the question. I ask them, how well are you and your team postured for a kingdom movement opportunity when it comes to having and implementing a reproducible disciple-making process? And then I'm like, give yourself a score. And most of the time we have the you know, senior leadership in the room, the decision makers, those over that area in the life of their church or organization. So they're going to be like, okay. And they start to look at 1 to 10 and pick a number somewhere in there, right?
And you just started with vision. You just started with this big kingdom movement opportunity. If this is what you're after.
Yeah.
And then we do this assessment. What do you typically see them scoring themselves at?
Yeah. In a Western church, most of the time it's going to fall 3 or less. If they're really honest, if they're paying attention, caught the vision, they're going to realize, okay, we're lacking in this, right? We're lacking.
That's good. It's good to be accurate about where you're at.
And self-aware.
Yes, absolutely. So what do we do now?
Yeah.
If that's where we're at, what do we do now?
Yeah. So I start asking why questions. So, you know, now you have somebody being very transparent, being very open, and they might have a very successful ministry.
Sure.
But they've realized, like I did in the past, the current way we're operating will not get me where I want to go, where I feel God's led me, or to what he is laying on my heart to accomplish or to do in his name. Something's got to change.
Yeah.
So when they look at the paper, they give themselves the rating, we just ask the simple questions. And so here, why? What caused you to rate yourself that way? And give them some time to write on that. And then let's start getting positive about it. Okay, if that's why you rated yourself that way, well, what strengths do you have that we can play to really get that acquired and implemented to be making disciples in the way that's necessary?
Yeah. So when they're thinking about their strengths, they're thinking about their weaknesses, what does that tell you?
Yeah. So the weaknesses play into it as well. What are your weaknesses that we need to minimize that are getting in the way of having an active and implemented reproducible disciple-making process in the midst of everything else you have to do? And what that tells me when they start answering that, we give them a lot of time to think on it, right? I have a team dialogue. But what it does for me, and more importantly, what it does for them, is it helps them to see that we have some capacity to grow in acquiring and implementing that reproducible disciple-making process so we can truly go after that kingdom movement opportunity God has laid out before us. You know, primarily we do that through the scriptures, by just like we've done, opening up the scriptures, going through it together. We do it through application questions, really getting down that guide us in shaping choices and making decisions, tough decisions, a lot of choices, but to hone in on, okay, how can we minimize weaknesses, play to our strengths, acquire and implement the necessary way we're going to make disciples, who can make disciples, and establish the body of Christ everywhere it is not.
Okay. So you already said we looked at the scriptures, some of the scriptures that we dive into, but you talked about application questions.
Yeah.
What are some of those application questions?
Yeah, they usually fall along like four categories. You know, the first one is we're like, okay, vision. What is that opportunity? Okay, we start hammering that out with some sub-questions. Then we're going to go into the urgencies. What are your urgencies around acquiring this and implementing it? What are the things that are going to fight against that urgency or competing for that time, resources, space, energy, everything, emotion, everything? Then we get into saying, okay, with the urgencies laid out alongside your vision, what are the biblical strategies available to us that we can adapt to our context, that we can make adaptable, make transferable, and then get them in a position to be used in our culture, in our context? Mm. And then finally, we land on the last category, and that's proven tactics. And that's where we fall back on the definition and say, okay, with our cultural context, how do we make this transferable? What are the adaptations to the biblical strategies that are going to help us reach our vision, that our urgency is speaking into? Mm. And then we start begging, borrowing, stealing, proven tactics, or creating, right, what's going to be necessary for us to really have an effective, reproducible way to make disciples, extend the body of Christ in every area that it is not in the harvest fields God's called us to. Yeah.
And to bring all of that together, we have the grid, FAM's strategic grid for reproducible disciple-making process.
Yeah, it's a worksheet that we've created that helps a team shape choices and make decisions so that in that discipling orb, from disciple-making to discipleship to establishing the body of Christ, nothing gets left out. So here's what we're going to do. Here's an image of it. If you're watching the podcast, if you're listening, we're kind of holding it up right now. But we're going to have this in the notes on all of our forms of the podcast. And you can download that worksheet. It's good for any team. It is a true worksheet. It has space to make decisions with and look at these seven categories of that reproducible disciple-making process to help you acquire one and then implement one for the full scope of a discipling and reproducing that amongst your disciple-making teams.
Yeah, we just spent a lot of time in it with the internship program.
Yeah, that's right.
We started with that grid and just spent a lot of time working on it. And it really is a good worksheet to help you shape that process.
So I see you're following the pattern because it was a form of that worksheet that I walked you through.
It was handed down
12 years ago.
Yes. That's I was great, told, man. Follow this pattern.
Follow this pattern. And you followed it well, and you're still following it.
I'm trying.
And sharing it with reliable brothers and sisters who are passing it down to others.
Absolutely.
You're doing it, man. You're the living example of what we're talking about. It's awesome.
So for FAM, this is how we help others. But for FAM, for our ministry, what is our reproducible disciple-making?
So over the years, we had a lot of choices that were before us. And we had a lot of decisions we had to make on how are we going to make disciples? Mm-hmm. Who can make disciples? What will be our reproducible disciple-making process? And what we have is a tool that we've created. We've been developing it for more than 13 years. It's been tried and tested out in the fields, and it's called D2D, Disciple to Disciple. And it's a 12-lesson reproducible disciple-making process that follows introductions, Bible stories, practical examples, and coaching tips for disciple makers with their disciple-making teams. Man, it's been a great tool for us. I think it is it's the hinge of who we are.
Sure.
If we're going to leave any gift behind to our teams, the gift we're leaving behind is, here's a reproducible disciple-making process. What I love about D2D is that even in the last 7 months, we've trained over 39,000 leaders around the world in our disciple-to-disciple reproducible disciple-making process. So
That's wild.
We're ramping up our training. We're making sure all of our team and our networks are qualified in the pattern of making disciples who can make disciples. Give them a concise, adaptable, transferable method to do that, and then turning them loose to go out and make disciples and shape them up and establish the body of Christ everywhere it's not. Man, it's been a great tool for us. I love it. It's something that's near and dear to my heart. I just taught it 2 weeks ago in two different countries. We teach it here. It's been a great joy just to develop it. And one of the things we did in coming back to the United States is we took our international adaptations of it And we came back and made a Western version. And I love that. And a lot of my friends have come alongside that are pastors and said, okay, what's it look like for us to utilize that? Several churches here in the U.S. are attempting or are doing it, implementing some version of a reproducible disciple-making process using D2D. And we want all of our partners and friends on the podcast to know this tool's available for you. So there's going to be a link at the bottom. It's going to give you a place to get on our website and order a hard copy or a soft copy of Disciple to Disciple, D2D. And, you know, it comes with five other volumes of curriculum to use in the outreach groups and in the body life groups to keep developing them throughout the whole process of discipling, all the way through the planting, establishing, or growing of biblical churches. So take advantage of the Full Kingdom Movement series, get D2D, get the soft copy, go through it, and let us know. We'd love to help you with that process any way we can. Love you to come help us with that in places where they need our help among the unreached. And so, yeah, I love it. D2D, I'd go on forever talking about
something. You mentioned trips there too, and I was like, oh, you're getting on to mobilization.
We would
love you to come on those trips for sure. Yeah. Get a touch and taste of those 39,000 leaders that have been trained. Watch them. Watch them do it.
Yeah.
Get to be a part of their journey as they do it.
Yeah, I mean, jump into that process and see how it's taking place. Then go back home and say, what's that look like for us here? Yep.
Absolutely. So what would you say to anybody who's listening right now who is thinking about shaping their choices? They're thinking about that movement mentality.
Yeah.
They're making decisions, acquiring, and now not just acquiring it, but using a reproducible disciple-making process.
You know, the first thing I would say is, if it's going to take effect, if it's going to really happen, those in directional leadership, those guiding these processes within the life of their body, their team, you have to commit to a caught over a taught attitude in this process. You know, we tend to drift to a teach, tell, do as I said, not as I do mentality, right, as teachers or whatever in a Western context. But if this is really going to take root, we have to commit to that. I want them to catch it from me, not just be taught it by me. So that means creating margin for them to experience it with me. It means rolling up my sleeves and getting the trenches with them. Maybe not forever, but there's an intensity where I need early adopters and fast movers to catch this from me, that it anchors in their heart. So commit to a caught over a taught attitude toward the process. Second thing I would tell somebody is master a method. I hope it's D2D, right? But master a method of reproducing disciples. And to master it, you have to internalize it so you can pass it down to others who can pass it along as well. To get contagious with it where it's caught from you, you have to internalize, let it become you, and truly make a commitment to master it for passing it along to others. And finally, the third thing I would say is when you're thinking about making disciples who can make disciples, truly having an enduring, reproducible disciple-making process, make a commitment to using what people call the Mall method for successive generations of disciples. And in FAM, we use Mall as model it for them. Mm-hmm. Have them assist you in it. Look at them as they do it as for observation. And then launch them out to the lost and the unreached around you.
Yeah. I'm smiling because this is what's happened to me as I've been under you. I've seen you internalize it. I've seen you model it for me and assist me and launch me. So it's very powerful to hear you say it because I've experienced it as part of this. So
So we go forward following in the pattern that's been set for us. With a great vision, with a sense of urgency, following biblical strategies and proven tactics so we can have a reproducible disciple-making process. This is what we have with FAM. I think it's some of our secret sauce. Mm-hmm. And we hope this and wish this and made this podcast so it can be the same for our friends and partners, that God would use them in great ways for the kingdom movement opportunity God has laid on their heart. Guys, I love being able to share today's content with you in the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We've made our resources available to you. I want to remind you, get a hold of D2D and have a chance to look it over in a soft copy or hard copy. Get the whole movement drivetrain, 2.5 years of curriculum to be making disciples who can make disciples for successive generations and establish the body of Christ. You know, something for you and your team immediately is to take advantage of our disciple-making grid. We've got a free download where you can print it off, have it available, see if it'd be helpful to make sure you're hitting all the lanes within that sphere of discipling. So great being with you. Thanks again for tuning in. Now go and be dangerous for Jesus.